3, 2, 1, let's go!
You're listening to Longgang Kitties.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Longgang Kitties. This is John Wang, your most handsome non-slave owner ever on the face of the planet. And we have Angie and we have Jerry. Are you guys owning slaves today?
I'm a slave to my cats.
So you are the slave.
I am the slave.
You are the slave.
Yeah.
Cat slave.
Today we have a whole host of stories, but the first one is quite sombering. When Angie linked this story, right, I already knew that I was in for a fucking roller coaster ride, but reading it, right, is such a fucking depressing episode that Angie, I hate you forever now. I mean,
you know, right? Like, I feel like I'm a person who can tolerate quite a lot of these atrocities. I couldn't finish reading this article. I had to skip several parts of it just to get to the end. And it's just so fucking horrifying.
It's almost like the more you read, the worse it gets, right?
Yeah, like, it's just how on earth did this happen for so long and no one even, like...
Okay, let's just get straight into the story. So the headline here is, family treated woman as slave, knocked out teeth, pour hot water and chain her to toilet bowl.
That sounds bad enough already.
Yeah, but it gets fucking worse. It gets fucking worse. Angie.
Do your
womanly duties, let's go.
Fuck you. Fuck you, John. This is really hard to read out, okay?
Yeah, it's fucking terrible.
Anyways.
We just do a quick summary.
We'll do a quick summary. So this woman, she ran away from home and sought refuge from a family. And what happened was that she angered one of the women by engaging in a sex act with her husband.
Oh, before anything, we should let the audience know also, The lady in question, right, the victim in this case, right, who was supposedly engaging in a sex act, she's actually intellectually disabled.
Yes.
So actually, I think what happened was one of the husband kind of like manipulated her into sex. But also the sex act itself is not confirmed, right? I don't think it was. I think it's just what was reported, like as if
the police report, one of the women think
that she had a sex act. But it's not confirmed. Without the court documents, we won't know. But just keep that in mind as we proceed with the story.
So what happened was, initially, the woman accused the victim of performing fellatio on her husband. She made the husband slap the victim. And after this incident, the family began the abuse. So the victim got to know this family as she went to school with one of the siblings. After she ran away from home, she was paying them money as rental. So she paid them $150 for laundry and then she slept on a mat in the living room. So this person knew that the victim was intellectually slow and had mental problems. They took advantage of her. And what happened was that... Oh my god. I don't want to read this. They basically started to make this victim their slave. She was made to do chores without pay. She was confined in a flat for 1.5 years. She was chained nightly to either a bed, a metal plate fixed to a wall, or the toilet bowl. And the abusers, right, two sisters and their mother, abused her by twisting her toes with a pair of pliers, knocking out her teeth with a hammer, splashing boiling water on her groin area. And she suffered burn injuries and blisters and became incontinent. No one fucking called for medical help. No one took her to the doctor. They only applied Dettol cream or medication on the wounds. It's only when one of these assholes, like, noticed she was too weak to get up to eat and had dark liquid flowing from her mouth and nose that she called for an ambulance. Prior to that, the victim was half naked, chained in a toilet bowl in the kitchen, sitting in her own shit, eating off the bathroom floor. And she had sepsis. She had, like, she was severely malnourished. So one of the occasion, the abuser poured hot water from a kettle onto her, scalding her stomach, thigh, and groin area. And when the victim said that she was in pain or made some noise, this abuser told her to stop groaning or she'll splash the hot liquid on her again. So this victim was so afraid that she never told anyone what happened. And when the victim's father went to her workplace and you know, pleaded with her to return home, she agreed and secretly packed her clothes because she didn't want the abusers to know that she was leaving because they had earlier confiscated her fucking passport and NRIC. So anyways, she told the abuser she was leaving her family after she arrived at work, but the abuser turned up at the restaurant demanding outstanding payment for laundry fees and asked her why she wants to leave. And then she took her phone, followed her back to the flat, and then she confined her in the flat and didn't allow her to return to work.
Can we just toss these motherfuckers into a meat grinder? Can we just like specially construct a meat grinder
for
precisely these two fellas, right? For these two sisters and the mother, these three people.
I mean, honestly, like, this is fucking death penalty material right there. I really cannot see any redeeming qualities to any of these abusers. And It's just
pure evil.
Fucking yeah,
it's
pure
just,
evil.
It's just pure fucking evil.
The worst part, okay, is that the victim, one of the shittiest bits of this story, it's not really the physical abuse, okay? It's when one of the abusers came with two packets of rice noodles for the victim, right? She threw away one packet and she urinated into the other packet of rice noodles and made the victim eat it. Okay? Like, it is evil on a scale that is just so fucking sick. And I just can't. Fuck. I cannot. Anyways, in late December 2017, the victim couldn't control her bowels any longer. So they chained her to the toilet. And she was very weak at this point. And this, like, terrible stench was coming from her. No one called the police or anything. It continued until the victim was too weak to get up and eat. She had a very smelly discharge coming from her vaginal area and dark liquid coming out from her nose and mouth. And the abuser, right, washed the victim's body repeatedly with 15 bottles of Dettol or alcohol. Okay, like, imagine, right, you have wounds all over you. You get washed with 15 bottles of Dettol or alcohol. I am just like...
Well, then these motherfuckers, they think Dettol is like a cure-all or something. Like that.
So...
Right, why don't they make her drink the Dettol instead? Oh no, it'll kill her.
When they finally took her to the hospital, she had multiple injuries, including large scalp lacerations, cuts on her face, cuts on her lips, deformities in both ears, damage to her cornea, and burns on 30% of her body. An IQ assessment revealed that she scored in the low or extremely low ranges for several categories except for her processing speed index, which cannot be assessed because the victim was unable to perform the test due to visual disability from the abuser. So she has had like mild intellectual disabilities since childhood and deficits in intellectual functions that kind of affected her ability to seek help and I guess like process what was happening to her and... So this family of fucking abusers clearly took advantage and...
The victim was also afraid, right? Because they were saying, oh, you know, we will smear your reputation by saying that you're a thief, you stole from us, if you try to run away and whatever.
So...
Basically just manipulating her intellectual disability.
She's mentally disabled and she's not able to figure out whether or not these people are threatening or, you know, she doesn't have all the capacity with her, and it's so easy to just threaten them, right?
So basically, there were the two sisters and the mother, and then there was the husband. So in November last year,
two brothers as well, I think.
Yeah. So November last year, the husband was given 3 weeks of jail, for his role in the case. I mean, he has done like some physical abuse to her as well. I mean, clearly not as bad as the two sisters and the mother, but 3 weeks of jail for being complicit in someone's abuse like this is fucking crazy. I mean, the fact that he even knew this was happening.
Right? Yeah, he was
and
there.
Never even told anybody.
No, you know what the best part is? Like the CNA article towards the end. I'm very amused that she had the cheek to freaking go on in court and have a lawyer argue that, oh, I was abused as a kid, you know, suffered molestation or whatever under the father, and you know they're afraid of the mother or whatever, so she basically is throwing her own mother under the bus.
They just need to all die lah. Just fucking kill them all.
Honestly speaking, giving her some benefit of doubt, I'm pretty sure there's some truth in this matter that the parents, you know, her parents are the ones who perpetuate this kind of behavior, right? But there's no excuse lah.
if you've been a victim of abuse,
yeah, there's no
it
excuse.
Doesn't excuse you abusing somebody yeah. else because you know how it feels.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm pretty no sure excuse. Like you're, like in this case, the abuse that you suffered is nowhere near what this victim suffered. Okay?
And apparently, according to the article, this sister with the husband, they, after they move out, she's like, oh, I didn't know what happened to her after that. Like, come on now, please.
The fact that they had a wall plate, right, like installed in the house, for the express purpose of chaining her to the fucking wall.
It's like
those are the kind of things you do in freaking Skyrim mods, you know, in a video game. You don't do it in real life.
This is Buffalo Bill level kind of insanity, you know. This is like it puts the lotion on the skin, that kind of like sick fuck mentality that I'm just like, what the fuck?
Like, it just boggles my mind that there are humans out there and we categorize them as humans when they do like such inhumane things.
So the husband given,
I feel like that.
So the husband given 3 weeks jail, right? But then, you know what's really important in 2019? We need to prosecute Patty Liani. We really needed, right, to go and fucking go after a maid, who allegedly stole shit, right, from CAG chairman, okay? But then this guy, right, is given 3 weeks jail for his role in the case. For being complicit, for maybe he didn't partake in the abuse himself.
He did some.
He slapped her or whatever. But then you know that there's these motherfuckers chaining people to the wall, chaining her to the toilet, abusing, and you did nothing, and you're given 3 weeks jail. I'm sorry, but someone need to explain the logic to me. I mean, I'm thinking about it over and over in my head, right? And I cannot find a suitable explanation for this very, very light sentencing.
I feel like we all need to have like a certificate for humanity. And at any point, right, when you kind of violate human standards or your own humanity by doing shit like this, this certificate should be taken away and you can no longer be called human.
Well, then, Angie, yours gone already.
Fuck you, man.
Yours will be revoked long ago.
Interesting question that, or rather, not maybe not interesting, but the question I ask is, you know, do you guys remember there are many cases like this?
Yeah, like where
once
mates,
in a while, right? Not just maids, like elderly as well.
Yeah, elderly. Yeah.
You know, so like, what gives? What gives in Singapore where we have such high literacy rate? Where, you know, it's a city that we live in confined spaces. Everyone knows each other. What gives? What do neighbors not talk to each other? I mean, okay, that's true. So, I mean, I don't really talk to my neighbors, but you kind of will understand or notice something is wrong, right?
I don't know, man. It's so fucking bizarre that something like this is even considered to begin with. We would be so willing to smash someone's teeth out with a hammer and twist their toes with a yeah. pliers, you know, and chain them to, like, you chain them to a wall. I mean, if you ever need to chain a person to the wall, right? You really need to like examine your life choices at that point and just like wonder, how the fuck did I get here? I mean, unless it's for like some BDSM shit, like, okay, then by then, okay, but if it's consenting,
yeah,
adults,
chain yourself yeah. anywhere you want if it's both consensual.
I won't even chain a dog to a wall, man.
Yeah, exactly.
There was this news that came out today where a dude, a 56-year-old man, assaulted his own elderly mother who is like 77 years old. With her own walking stick, kicked and stamped her and pulled her hair and fractured her ribs because he wanted her ATM pin number. So after he threatened to cut off her fingers with a knife when she refused to give it to him initially. So he basically punched the shit out of his mom to withdraw $2,000 from her bank account.
Jesus Christ.
$2,000? You fucking break your mother's ribs. You are such a stellar piece of shit, motherfucker. Yeah, so the poor lady, right, elderly mother, was in great pain, couldn't call police, lay in her room to rest, and after her son left the unit, the mother crawled out of bed and sought help from her neighbors, and, you know, the neighbors called the police.
Okay, you know what?
This is just a depressing episode. Sorry, guys.
I had enough of this depressing shit.
Let's move on to Longkang kiddies are not meant for. Not, we are supposed to be entertaining, not depressing.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to a neutral topic. We have a fun topic at the end, so let's move on to a neutral topic, which is Singapore pushing hawkerpreneurs really fucking hard. I don't know if you guys fucking noticed, right? Okay. Suddenly, out of nowhere, right, we have Straits Times coming up. Poly and IT grads can train to be hawkers under new program. And then we have the news, the lady who stopped being a banker to become a hawker. You know, like they're really glorifying hawkers now, you know. For some reason, this thing is pushed really, really fucking hard.
By the way, they glorified it so much, right, that under the SkillsFuture Singapore Work Study Program, there is this new thing called the Work Study Post-Diplomas Bracket Certificate in Hawkerpreneurship.
So
First of its kind.
We are actually very blessed, right, on this podcast to have a son of a hawker.
Son of a hawker!
Who cannot Jerry? Cook the
siobak.
The siobak.
Shame.
Shame.
I'm not my father, man.
But Jerry, if you had the diploma or NITEC, right, would you be able to cook the siobak or not?
Will your siobak be crackling and then crispy?
I'm sure if I fail enough I can do it.
I'm sure if you have gone to poly and IT, right?
With the hawker
diploma. Yeah, with the hawker program, right?
Where they will teach you in the classroom how to be a hawker.
Yeah.
You know what we really fucking need? I think we don't need all these hawker premium program, right? What program we need, right, at poly and IT, is, OnlyFans. We need to teach, teach people those, SG Singapore dots, right? How to open up an OnlyFans account.
How to stream on Twitch. How to be an OnlyFans?
You see, it's way more complex than you think. Angie, you don't know because you're not a thought, right? You're not an OnlyFans thought. That hole over there.
H-O-T.
T-H-O-T.
That hole over there.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What does it mean?
It means that hole over there.
Like what hole? Is it to refer to the person who's streaming or to the person who's watching the stream?
It's just an attention hole. Basically, yeah. It's a hole. So it's that hole.
Oh, hole. H-O-E.
Yeah.
I heard hole.
Hole.
And
H-O.
I was like, is that like H-O-L-E? I was like, what hole?
Okay. It could be that hole over there.
It could be that hole, but anyway,
Angie, you don't know. It's very complex. Nowadays, the situation is way more difficult than you think.
Sure.
First of all, right, we have the pregnancy fetish. Okay. Then we have the
food. That has been around forever.
Then we have the food fetish.
Yeah, okay. Feeders.
We have feeders. We have vor.
What's vor? Shit, right?
No, vor. No, that's scat. Vor is being eaten alive.
Oh yeah. I love that.
We have the titty streamers. Okay.
Titty streamers.
Yeah, we have the titty grammers.
What's the difference?
Titty gram. Titty stream.
Yeah. It's very complex. Yeah. You definitely need a diploma for all this shit now.
So anyways, right.
It's more complex than...
So anyways, this going back to the hawker thing, it's a 12-month program where participants will undergo a 2-month classroom-based training, followed by a 4-month apprenticeship and a 6-month mentorship with experienced hawker. So the program can accommodate about 50 people over 3 years. Both mentors and apprentices will receive a monthly training allowance of 500 and 1,000 respectively. So
where is this money coming from?
Skills Future.
Oh, yeah. I guess the government, not from us, are taxpayers. Where else? Yeah.
Okay, do we really need... I mean, I was being like extremely facetious with the OnlyFans diploma, but I mean, it's equivalent, right? Like, what the fuck is... You want to be a hawker is being a mindset of a businessman.
Jerry, do you want to sum up KF Sito's thing?
Well, how do I even...
I'll say, how about you feel about it? I think you probably concur with him quite a bit.
Yeah, I do agree. I did a brief read through and he's basically saying you are condensing all the life's work of these people into a diploma or NITEC cert so that you can pass it on for a stipend. Like, what the fuck? Like, seriously, what the fuck are you guys thinking? And honestly speaking, I've discussed this with here before, and I've spoken with Danny, our friend Danny, on Economical Rise podcast with regards to why I didn't take over my dad's business. And it's just not, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Why would you take, the whole reason why hawker culture is dying is it doesn't make sense. People stop doing it because it doesn't fucking make sense. And KF Sito nailed it. Okay, in the first place, the fucking UNESCO heritage bullshit, right? That spiel, right?
Is which already, I'm sure STB never paid a single dollar for. Okay, yeah, I'm fairly certain STB will not resort to things like bribery or anything like that. You know, so we are very above board.
Honestly speaking, right, that itself is such a huge pie in the face for all the street, like literal real hawkers, the street food vendors around Southeast Asia and around the world. That's such a huge pie in the face, right? And to have that, and then you have this. That's just.
I'm just gonna read from KFC Toe's post. Like, I mean, it's a fairly long post. You can go to his Facebook or whatever social media platforms to read it.
I think it's pinned right now.
But I think this part is especially pertinent. All right, so quoting him. Come on, these old masters and retiring hawkers deserve more. Just because they plan to call it a day doesn't mean that we can throw some stipend into their retirement pots and hijack their life's work. I think some would rather just walk into the sunset with their brand and recipe than to hand over their reputation to strangers. Remember the Kok Ki Wonton Noodle Store was paid $1.8 million for their business and brand, and we all know that $4 million paid for Kaylee roasted meat some years back. If you truly want to accord them with the respect they deserve, then this is a sign to seed the Hawker Culinary Academy for anyone to study. Yet these hawkers do teach for a fair fee. Yet strangers who are truly, quote-unquote, passionate to pay to learn and even improve on it if they have the chops. A class can be smallish and intimate, and the hawker should be paid the lion's share of the fees in these ongoing classes.
No, fucking, okay, let me explain something also. Like, you know, when my dad was doing his business, he had no shortage of people asking him for apprenticeship. Okay, apprenticeship is actually not really paid that well or at all, right? So they will come in and they will learn the ropes from my dad. And my dad is very selective because obviously you have to watch out for your own business, right? Because my dad was still doing his hawker business back then. And if you were to come to learn from him and then you fucking set up a store next to him, obviously it's not going to fly up. So he actually have a lot of students. A lot of them are actually Malaysians. So they came in here, they learn from them, they go back to Malaysia and they're making fucking bank. Right? So that's the thing. Like, if you really want to have this kind of culture, right, the culture is already there. It's just the fact that the fucking business doesn't make sense. That's why young people don't want to do it.
I think it's a few factors are involved. So, of course, the rising price of property, of rent, and so on and so forth. I think during your dad's time, when prices was controlled by HDB, hawkers back in the day, they can make like serious bank as a result of, you know, price control. Nowadays, I see the hawkers, right? I see a lot of young people doing it. I talk to them. It's really them fucking a lot of hard work.
Mm.
Sweating in the fucking heat. In a very humid and cramped environment. You need to compete so fucking rigorously.
Mm.
Only to fucking pay your landlord, which is maybe, I don't know, like Kofu or whatever, like one of those social enterprises, right, that seems to be more enterprise than social, paying them like $3,000-$4,000 a month or whatever, and then they get the lion's share, right, and then you just like get fucking peanuts at the end of it.
Oh, and it's $3,000-$4,000 a month, or it's just for the renter for the store. Utilities you gotta pay for yourself, and in certain
the dishwashing and everything, cleaning the tables and everything.
Yeah, so all these things, right, are tacked on after you pay the rent. So you know, easily you can commit like $6,000 a month just to operating the store itself.
What I'm really having a lot of problem with, right, is the government thinking that it can come in, right, stick his finger in the fucking thing and then try to preserve the culture in this manner. Like, as though, the thing that we really need right now for hawkers to be, right, or for hawkers to have, is to have another degree or another cert. Like, that's as if that's the real problem. It's kind of like our population declining, right, and the government thinks, you know what? What we really need to do, right, is to package a bunch of fucking Pampers and powder into like a little box and give it to people. That will learn them. That will make sure our population goes up. You cannot even see past the fucking the material surface of the problem that we are facing.
It's like, right, remember when Dr. Chi came to our podcast and we were talking about like how expensive it is to have children, and then he was talking about like the survey that some like government people were doing.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, and everyone's like, oh, it's the cost of living, it's the cost of living. And then the government's like, oh, I know, let's give them some money.
Yeah, hey, you want that to earn this $15,000 package?
Have a child. Yeah, as if $15,000 will like
Actually, it's less than 15,000.
Yeah, I don't know how much it is, however. It's very, very little. Okay. Anyways, like the, and then there has been like some responses to this whole like hawkerpreneurship thing. That has been quite interesting to me. And this random dude, Simon Lim, I don't know who he is. His thing has his write up has been going around. He's been making the circles. I'm just gonna read out like a very small part of it, lah. Okay, he says this paragraph is important. He prefaces this with like lots of stuff, lah. So, but this is the important part. There's no doubt that this PAP government is at its wit's end at creating decent employment opportunities for our people and our children. They are scrapping the bottom of the barrel, so to speak. I say, let this news be a warning even to strong PAP supporters. I strongly urge you to open your eyes and open up your minds. To the PAP government, your children are only as good to become a hawker, which I strongly disagree. Remember this, our educated children deserve better employment opportunities in our own country, and if they can no longer create good employment opportunities for our young people, they really shouldn't be in office at all. It looks to me that today, PAP ministers are able to create good paying jobs only for themselves. Okay, so, I mean, it is not wrong, but at the same time, I'm not like fully on board with this whole like, educated people can only have educated jobs.
I don't think it's the PAP's role, right, to go and create jobs.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it has like a very, it smacks very strongly of elitism, which is to say that, you know, the being a hawker is like less than.
Not good enough. If you have a degree, you shouldn't be a hawker.
Exactly, which is, I think, problematic because this is not just from this like dude, lah, and it's a sentiment that I see quite coming up quite a bit.
The thing to remember, right, is that end of the day, right, hawkers are business owners.
Yes.
Yes.
Full stop. That's the end and be all.
Exactly.
Like, we have to treat them like business owners, even though they are important cultural heritage, whatever. But if you want business to flourish, you have to create conditions for the business to flourish. Mm. It's just simple as that. Mm. There's no fucking way around it, right? I mean, what's the point of like jamming more fucking apprentices or whatever and mentors into a program? First of all, you're attracting a very different kind of people. Right now, you're attracting people who are maybe in it just because, oh yeah, it's just an easy thing for me to do, or it's just something that...
Well, I can at least get $500 a month while, you know...
I think one of the things that I want to bring attention to, maybe for listeners around my age who will probably understand.
No one
is $300. Yeah. 300 years old.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I know no one is that old, right? But if you grew up in the 90s, you will understand that, you know, the government went from telling people that engineering is good to biotech is good to the digital economy, the dot-com boom. Then you have the animation program, then you have all this. So
I think optometries also
at some point as well. Yeah, yeah. You know, so
and then we had this glut of optometries. I still remember all of them fucking no jobs, and
yeah,
then they had to become like really weird, like insurance salesmen.
Exactly. So, you know, that's the thing. You know, the government is, for some reason, has always been trying to prove trying to push people to certain lines of work based on whatever deals they were able to make at a point in time. And I was lucky enough that my parents didn't push me to anything. They just let me be. Okay, maybe that was a wrong decision on their part. Okay, because I'm a slacker right now. But the point is, if you are doing something just because someone tells you, or you read from the Straits Times that, you know, this is going to be good for the next 20 years, and then you find out that it's not, then who can you really blame? You know, you're in a job that you don't really like. You're in it just because of the money. And even before you hit 30 years old, you're already out of work. Because whatever you're doing is outdated. The industry has pulled out. And I have so many friends my age. They went into engineering. And then none of them are working in engineering now. Just do whatever the fuck you want. Don't listen to the fucking government on
only
jobs,
fans.
Only fans, yeah.
That's just the only thing that is needed right now is more OnlyFans girls.
Only
more
fans.
Singapore OnlyFans girls.
Yes.
Which I do not condone nor support, nor will I give you money, but we need more of them.
You should do it so that by the time the government picks up, right, you can also earn a stipend being a mentor to other people who want to go into OnlyFans.
Here's how you take a feet pick.
Look at how much money Belle Delphine is earning, man.
Didn't she just get kicked off the what?
Fuck
YouTube.
Hawkers.
YouTube?
Just go fucking.
She's apparently earning $1 million a month. Like,
what does she actually do?
She's not even that good looking.
But actually, I have to say, right, Belle Delphine is a world-class troll. She is actually pretty good at marketing herself.
Yes.
Yeah, she's not good looking, and she's quite ordinary in, you know, like, even her body shape and everything is like, meh.
But fucking $30 bath water. What the fuck?
But she know how to tease, right, and market herself to the point where she can now earn $1 million a month.
She's good.
Fucking hats off to you.
Yeah, businesswoman through and through.
I respect that about her. Seriously.
She needs to become a mentor for IT and poly grads. And then she gets extra $500 a month.
Was it 1,000?
$1,000 is 1,000? For the apprentice.
Oh. Wow. The master doesn't even get... Holy shit. The master doesn't even get more money. I don't believe this.
Wait, are you sure?
Yeah.
Yes, oh my god.
Yeah,
Mentors 500.
This is fucking
apprentices
bullshit.
Apprentices 1,000. I read it and it didn't go through my mind.
Fat check, fat check.
Jesus fucking Christ.
This is the one thing that KFC Toe also wrote in his Facebook post was, you know, by doing this mentorship thing, right, and giving people stipends and doing this NITEC and poly diploma and whatever, right, just to promote more hawkerpreneurs. I don't even know why they came up with that fucking stupid word.
It's like a hawker is already an entrepreneur, yeah. Idiots.
This is not just a pie in the face. This is a slap in the face of all the youngsters who went into the hawker industry because they believe they have a product that's worthy of bringing out to share with other people. And then you're just, you know, I don't understand, seriously. I'm just at a loss for words.
Next time, right, we're going to have a cafepreneur, right? Going for all the young girls out there who are trying to set up their own cafe, mm-hmm. which they think is super unique and super hipster. All of them are going to succeed. Then they're going to have mentors as well. We're going to have an OnlyFanpreneur.
Yeah, OnlyFanpreneur.
What other preneurs do we have? Can we have the bar girl preneur?
I'm a drawerpreneur.
There's meme site Kuan Yuism. They had a cardboard collecting preneur.
Uh-huh.
They had a road sweeper preneur.
Grab preneur.
Grab delivery preneur.
God damn it. Okay.
Fuck, man, seriously.
I'm gonna move on to the next story, which is funny as fuck. Okay, so we have a dispute over who gets to eat reunion dinner with son. Okay, so basically is this married couple, they got divorced, and half of the some of the time the son get to spend the time with the father, which is the weekends and school holidays at the end of the year, then other live with the mother for the rest of the time. So then now who gets to have reunion dinner with the son? So let me read this out because it's funny as well. I want to laugh as I read.
The more you read, the funnier it gets. Yeah.
So okay, the arrangement went smoothly for several years until the parents' relationship became increasingly hostile around 2019. As the two fell out, the woman filed an appeal to the court to adjust the terms of the joint custody. Her appeal included a request to allow both parents to take turns spending time with their son on the eve of CNY. She explained that she had not been able to make proper arrangement to spend time with her son during this period with her ex-husband since they got divorced, and hoped to spend time with her son during festive period. However, her ex-husband was unwilling to budge and insisted that their son ought to stay with him on the eve of Chinese New Year to the second day of the festive period to have reunion dinner with the paternal relatives as well. The man argued the son should spend more time with other relatives during his developmental years. He added that his ex-wife was unable to provide for their son, as her reunion dinner did not include other relatives. As far as I'm concerned, right, the ex-wife reunion dinner sounds like perfect. Sounds like perfection. If the son, right, had any fucking sense, when he turns 18, right, stick with your mom. I normally don't give this advice. I'll say go with your dad, but in this case, right, since your mom doesn't have any fucking relatives, go with your fucking mom, alright? They went to court for this, and the judge ruled for the son to eat reunion dinner with both separately. Okay, just imagine this, right? Imagine this. All rise for the Honorable Judge Wang. Boy, boy. You listen to me, boy. You go eat at your mom's house, okay? Then, until 8:30, then you hand off to the father, and then you eat at the father's house. You're gonna have two fucking reunion dinners on the eve of Chinese New Year in 2021.
The best part though is because after the ruling, the dad was like super unhappy.
Wait. Jerry, can you play the dad? Can you like, what is the response to the judge?
The response,
ruling. Yeah.
Oh, hey, Your Honor, what buay song? What buay song? How can you, if later my son eat one dinner already, then go to another home, eat another dinner, Walao, he very pa leh.
Order in the court. I hold you in contempt, ah. Son of a gun. Boy, you better eat two renewals. I fucking swear. And so then, and then the parents, ah. Okay, the judge, right, advise parents to compromise. And they advise both parents to cooperate with each other rather than to risk ruining the festive period for their son.
I like this. This is my entire favorite line in the whole stupid article. The appeal was rejected by the High Court, ruling that there was nothing wrong with the family court's verdict.
This one went all the way to High Court. Should we go to one level, go to Supreme Court also?
Actually, I feel like it should be a matter for the Supreme Court. Because, like, why 8:30? It's so arbitrary, right? Like, I mean, so meaning that, like, the first family has to, like, bring forward dinner at 6 o'clock? Because dinner usually is, like, 7 o'clock, right?
Yeah, see, see, judge, what buay song, you bring forward the dinner to 5:30, right? All my relatives haven't show up. Then
yeah, that is not reunion dinner already.
It's not reunion dinner. Cannot be. Must be 5:30 until 9:30.
I think the parents, right, should decline this ruling and reject the rejection and then go ahead to Supreme Court.
You know
and
what
see
we,
what the Supreme Court will
you
say.
You know what we really need now? We need K. Shanmugam to weigh in on this situation. As the Minister of Law, right?
What do you think, Mr. Shanmugam? Like, we value your opinion so much.
I tell you what, at some point, if the parents, right, still refuse to listen to K. Shanmugam, there's only one court that's higher than all of it already. We need a necromancer, right, to resurrect Lee Kuan Yew. And for Lee Kuan Yew to deliver...
From ashes, right.
To deliver the verdict himself. He needs to come back from the dead, right, and tell this fucking boy which fucking reunion dinner you need to eat.
I will say this. If the boy listens to us, I will say this. When you turn 18, don't go for any reunion dinners. Give your parents both the middle fingers and tell them my new Chinese New Year Eve is to be spent with my girlfriend or whoever you want. Right? Just fuck off. Like, you know, fuck you guys. Basically, this ex-couple place their own interests ahead of their son's interests. And that's just as selfish as it gets.
No, man. I think what the couple is doing is absolutely 100% correct. I think that we should definitely force kids, right? I mean, motherfuckers, they are already putting on weight, right? Why stop there? Why stop at just normal obesity? Now we need to fucking get them... Jerry's laughing his ass off already. Jerry, calm your tits, Jerry. Calm your fucking tits.
I would say, let me just quote Mr. Shanmugam using a quote he previously used for something else.
Okay.
As his verdict for this. And for this to work, people have to believe that the outcomes they desire are fair and that the processes are fair. For example, the justice system. We have had some discussion over the last few days on the justice system. It promotes the order and justice in relationships between people and between government and people. The public has got their trust in it. If the processes are fair, then there will be trust and confidence in that framework and in our institutions. So basically, he's just telling you to listen to
shut
the
up
government.
And listen. Yeah.
Shut up and listen.
Shut up and listen.
Okay, these parents, take your case to the Supreme Court and listen. Have trust and confidence in that framework.
I mean, we are spending time like doing this already, right? Like the courts have need to go and decide this fucking kid needs to eat two reunion dinners, right? But then the one guy that's down there torturing fucking women, or complicit in torturing women, gets 3 fucking weeks in jail. Okay, let's just rearrange all our fucking priorities here, okay? Like, from now on, all the whatever fucking crime, right? First of all, do it after 25 days, right? After, like, for the Trace Together thing finish, expire already, okay? We should all just have the ministers and parliament, right, decide which fucking kid, right, gets to eat at reunion dinner to begin with, okay?
Let me just quote another pull of wisdom from K. Shanmugam, our most esteemed minister. You get the framework right, you get the processes right, and then you'll get the results. And the results are something that we as a society have got to try and agree on. What are the results? What do we put values on? Peace, security, equal opportunity, fair distribution of benefits, achievement of potential, maximizing the individual's potential, and more.
And eating two reunion dinners.
It reminds me of the joke, right? It's like, oh, you know, the one there's one side of the camp that says that 2 plus 2 equals 5. Then the other side says 2 plus 2 equals 2. Then the centrist, right, says, well, two, then we have to take the middle road, right? So 2 plus 2 equals 3.5. That must be the correct answer.
Again, another quote from K. Shanmugam.
Oh, shit.
Therefore, we talk about any of these issues, the first thing we need to ask ourselves is, what is the end result? What is the balance we are happy to strike? Then we'll be able to agree on processes too. Too often, the discussion proceeds as if we can have everything we have today and yet make some changes. You must always ask, if you make changes in certain areas, what are the consequences?
Remember there was one time I made Dan Wong for one of his forfeit to read out the game codes, right?
Yeah,
right.
I feel like I'm doing that.
Yeah, we should have a forfeit, right, where you just read out
like K-Shanmugam codes.
Yeah, that's all you can respond with.
Let me try.
You know what? I think that might be interesting. You know, it's not just, we don't just have K-Shanmugam, we have all the other.
No. Like, well, K-Shanmugam is more specific and it's funnier. That's true.
this is one of the weirdest shit I've ever seen.
You know what's funny? Imagine if...
Then K-Shanmugam will be like, you're taking my words out of context.
Imagine if you have a situation where this boy gets married in the future and the future wife also has this situation where she has to go to her two different destinations for reunion dinner. And
yeah, you know what? No, just file for emancipation, the both of you.
So they have to go to like four different places for reunion dinner.
Fuck these like parental idiots.
No, seriously. I mean, I have to do two reunion dinners, so I understand.
I love reunion dinners, actually. I don't know why everyone bitches about them. I love it.
Well, not when you have to do two or four.
I'm more than happy to do two and four. I just eat my way through.
I just need one. And without the extended family, that's...
Yeah.
Exactly. Not that I hate my family.
Not that I hate my extended family, but... Goddamn, sometimes the questioning also just gets so fucking mundane.
Hey, boy, when are you giving us a grandson?
John, then you will love 2021's Lunar New Year where people cannot visit.
You know what? I'm gonna make a prediction, and this is also one of my rage, right? It's like, if you're gonna be one of those motherfuckers, right, who's just gonna be like, Happy New Year! Fuck you! It's not funny! Shut the fuck up, okay?
Happy New Year.
The New Year, this shit, right, okay? Just get it out of your system now. Just keep repeating to the wall over and over again. It's not funny. No, everybody already thought of it. It's just stop. Don't fucking do it. You do it right, I'm gonna kick you in the fucking teeth with my fucking hooves, okay? God damn it.
It's not funny 24 years ago. It's not funny now.
Okay. Alright.
I don't have a magical moment. Dan Wong isn't here to give us a magical moment. Do you guys have a magical moment?
How about I just read another?
Maybe you should just like continue reading K. Shanmugam quotes, and then you know we'll just stop whenever, and then during the edit, it'll just fade out.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so before you do that, thank you all for listening in, and we like, subscribe, comment, share,
blah blah blah
blah blah blah, and then now and we shall end this podcast with a note from K. Shanmugam.
But remember, earlier, I talked about the power of governments and the power to get things done. In some ways, the liberal system has weakened the power of governments to such an extent today that regardless of who you vote for, the governments cannot deliver. They cannot deliver on education, they cannot deliver on healthcare, they cannot deliver on jobs. In a large economy like the US, which is the world's largest economy, there is a certain momentum. The genius of the people keeps it going. But in terms of what the government delivers, you eventually find that it is not so easy. But it doesn't mean doom and gloom. The human spirit is very...